But infidelity has furnished our neighbors an easier way of escape from the commission by Mark. Finding all other quibbles ineffectual, they now tell us that it is an interpolation, a Roman Catholic forgery. The whole of the chapter, from the 9th verse to the 20th, inclusive, is spurious. This is a very convenient way of disposing of an argument which cannot be met otherwise. If a passage is in harmony with our theory, it is canonical. Otherwise, it is a forgery. We wish to enter our protest against the immolation of our Bible in this way. Interpolations in it there may be, but they must be incontrovertibly shown such before we can respect the attack of one against whose theory they chance to come. Such men cannot blow a chapter out of our Bible with a breath. We propose to submit some testimony which may not be in the possession of everyone with regard to the authenticity of this connection of Scripture. Professor Stowe has made the authenticity of the books of the Bible a specialty, and we suppose has given the subject more attention than any man in America, perhaps than any man now living. He wrote a notice of Tischendorf's New Testament, which was published in the Christian Union, from which we extract the following. The New Testament in English, edited by Tischendorf and published by Tauchnitz, is a work of great merit in a scholarly point of view. But to those not fully acquainted with the subject, altogether deceptive, though not intentionally so. Such are apt to think that the three oldest manuscripts must be the best authority for the original text, and that what cannot be found in them could not have been part of the New Testament as it came from the hands of the apostles. This is a great and mischievous mistake. The three oldest manuscripts used by Tischendorf date from the first quarter of the 4th to the middle of the 5th century. That is, some 225 years at least after the New Testament had been written, read in the churches, and scattered all over the Christian world, liable to all the accidents incident to frequent transcription. Now we have translations of the New Testament in various languages, Syrian, Egyptian, Ethiopic, and others, beginning with the latter part of the 2nd century. From the 1st century to the 5th there are not less than 10 of these translations, and they certainly are a much better authority than manuscripts which had no existence till early in the 4th century. When these translations contain passages which are not contained in later manuscripts, the translations are much more likely to give the text as it stood in their time than the manuscripts. The loss of a leaf, for these manuscripts are all in book form and not in rolls, the beginning in wrong places by the transcriber after a rest from writing, and various other circumstances, may easily account for an unintentional omission in the manuscripts, but an interpolation must be intentional. On these accounts, and others that might be mentioned, it is easy to see that, at least in regard to interpolations, a good translation of the 2nd or 3rd century is a far more reliable authority for the original of the text than the manuscript of the 4th or 5th century. The 10 translations above alluded to are, therefore, on these points, far more trustworthy than the 3 manuscripts used by Tischendorf in his new edition of the New Testament. Again, we have numerous Christian writers, from the 1st century to the 5th, who consistently quote the New Testament as it stood in their time. And the quotations of the 1st 3 centuries are an earlier authority for the original text than any of the Tischendorf manuscripts. There are some 75 of these writers, and their quotations are so numerous that if every manuscript of the New Testament were lost, the substance of it could be reproduced from their writings. Moreover, the manuscripts are all anonymous. We know not who wrote them, but the quotations are given with responsible names. We know the authors of the books in which they occur. It is true that these translations and the writings of the early Christian fathers are generally more or less incomplete, and the text somewhat varied. But the same is true of the New Testament manuscripts. In the very best manuscript, the Sinaitic, Tischendorf indicates 4 different classes or kinds of variation. On this point, all the authorities, whether translations or manuscripts, need careful editing. They all stand on precisely the same ground. Quote, "Now apply these principles to a single case by way of illustration. The last chapter of Mark's Gospel, from the 8th verse onward, is omitted in the Sinaitic and Vatican manuscripts, but is contained in the Alexandrian. It is in all the Syrian, Egyptian, and other translations of the 2nd and 3rd centuries, and it is quoted as the last part of Mark's Gospel by Irenaeus, the most learned Christian writer of the 2nd century, and the student of Polycarp, who had studied with the Apostle John. Irenaeus tells us that he had the books of the Christian scriptures in his possession at the very time when he was on terms of familiarity with Polycarp, daily listening to his accounts of what he had heard from John and others who had seen the Lord. This chapter of Mark is also found in more than 500 Greek manuscripts and also in the Latin and Gothic. Now, which is the more probable, that all these most ancient witnesses had been deceived by an interpolation, or that by some accident the last leaf of Mark's gospel had been dropped out from the manuscript from which the Sinaitic and Vatican were copied? From this statement of fact, it is obvious that anyone who should, in making a revised text of the New Testament, strike out all that is not contained in the three oldest manuscripts used by Tischendorf, must be guilty of a very faulty text. It is a remarkable fact, not to be lightly estimated, that a whole column of space is left blank in the Vatican manuscript, as if the copyist had intended, but for some reason had omitted, to fill it with the text. Unquote. In a subsequent paper, Professor Stowe enters into specifications as follows. Quote, "We are perfectly safe and within bounds in concluding that at least the historical books of the New Testament were in circulation in the Syrian churches in the Peshitto translation as early as the latter part of the first century. If so, then the Syrian Christians, the near neighbors and contemporaries, and relations by language and race of the apostles themselves, read this passage, the last verses of Mark's gospel, without question as a genuine portion of the gospel of Mark, nearly three centuries before the oldest manuscript used by Tischendorf was written. Now take this in connection with the fact that no one knows either the origin or the history of the Tischendorf manuscripts, while both the origin and history of the Syrian translation are known and well attested as to substance, and also the fact that an accidental omission, especially of the last leaf, is more easily accounted for than an interlined interpolation, which at that early period and in those circumstances would have been well nigh impossible. And anyone can see that the authority of the Syrian translation must be, in this instance, altogether superior to that of the Greek manuscript. To this add the authority on the same point of all the translations of the second and third centuries, and out of more than 500 Greek manuscripts, and the case is made out. Second authority, Irenaeus. He was born in Smyrna, near the beginning of the second century, was the student of Polycarp, the celebrated bishop and martyr of that city, the disciple of John the Apostle, and not unlikely the very angel of that church to whom John directed the epistle in Revelation 2, verses 8 through 17, dictated by the Lord Jesus. He had resided at Rome and early went as a missionary to France, where he suffered martyrdom in the year 202. In writing to his friend Iconius, who was an elder in the church at Rome, he says, "I saw thee when I was yet a boy in the lower class with Polycarp. I remember the events of those times much better than those of more recent occurrence. I can tell the very place where the blessed Polycarp was accustomed to sit and discourse of his familiar intercourse with John, as he was accustomed to tell, and also his familiarity with those who had seen the Lord. How also he used to relate their discourses concerning his miracles, his doctrine. All these were told by Polycarp in consistency with the Holy Scriptures, as he had received them from the eyewitnesses. These things I attentively heard, noting them down in my mind, and these same facts I am always in the habit of recalling faithfully to mind." Is not Irenaeus better authority on such a point as that which we are now considering than any anonymous manuscript written nearly two centuries after his time? Yet Irenaeus, in his great work on heresies, 3:10, verse 6, writes thus, "Mark says in the end of his gospel, Mark 16, verse 19, 'And indeed the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God.'" The third authority, Hippolytus. Hippolytus was a student of Irenaeus, the pastor of a church in the neighborhood of Rome, one of the most pious preachers and able writers of his time, and his works are still highly esteemed and widely read. In 1551, a statue of him with biographical inscriptions was disinterred near Rome, and in 1661 and 1832, important long-lost writings of his were discovered, all of which excited great interest and enthusiasm. In his work on spiritual gifts, there is a passage. Jesus says to all at the same time concerning the gifts which shall be given by him through the Holy Spirit, and these signs shall follow them that believe, etc., etc., quoting the whole of Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. We need pursue the subject no further nor quote the later fathers, Augustine, Jerome, and others. So far as the weight of authority is concerned, is not the genuineness of the passage in question established beyond reasonable doubt? Tischendorf has no superior in regard to New Testament Greek manuscript authority, but as to the authority of translations, church writers, etc., which are more ancient than any of our existing New Testament Greek manuscripts, Lockman is his superior, and Lockman retains this passage as genuine. As to the internal evidence, without these verses, how abrupt and awkward the closing words of the gospel, "For they were afraid." From the analogy of all the other gospels, we could certainly expect something beyond this, and common sense would teach the same. Unquote. We offer no apology for these long extracts from Professor Stowe. They throw a flood of light upon the whole subject, and we can well afford the space given if we may thereby preserve the integrity of the Bible. We could abundantly prove the doctrine of baptism for the remission of sins without this passage, but with it there can be no plausible opposition. In the introduction to Tischendorf's New Testament, we find the following admissions. Quote, "The ordinary conclusion of the Gospel of St. Mark, namely, chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, is found in more than 500 Greek manuscripts, in the whole of the Syriac and Coptic, and most of the Latin manuscripts, and even in the Gothic version. But by Eusebius and Jerome, the former of whom died in the year 340, it is expressly stated that in nearly all the trustworthy copies of their time the Gospel ended with the eighth verse. And with this, all existing known Greek manuscripts, only the Vatican and the Sinaitic now agree." Unquote. We might quote numerous other authorities, but the foregoing are all for which we have room and are deemed quite sufficient to establish the purity of the text beyond doubt. It is a positive utterance of him who had all authority in heaven and upon earth, that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the words of Jesus cannot fail. Reader, are you a believer? If so, have you been baptized? If not, can you feel that the promise, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," offers any consolation to you while in your present condition? If not, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord.